Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara wants to establish the source, in this case in a Mishnah in Orla, for the Machlokes of Kol Shedarko Limonos Shaninu or Es Shedarko Limonos Shaninu. The Machlokes, which has been recorded here between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, regard to the following issue. What constitutes, how do we define a Dover Shebeminyan, which is Afilu B'Elef Lo Botel? Is it Kol Shedarko Limonos? In other words, there are some people who will count it and sell it by individual item, but others might sell it B'Mishkal B'Omed. Or do we say Es Shedarko Limonos Shaninu, that when the Mishnah defines a Dover Shebeminyan, it's because everyone sells a Beminyan. No one sells a Beomed, no one sells a Bemishkal. And the Mishnah in Orla speaks about what's called Chavile Tilson, and we're talking about bundles of some sort of a legume that's used for a spice to spice up or sweeten up the pot of food that's cooking. And these chavile tilson, these kinds of produce, are kalai hakerem. And kalai hakerem are asur bahana, because these were sown, these were planted in a kerem, violating the iser kalayim. And if you turn to daf ayin beis amud beis, you'll see yidoleku, which means that we have to burn the kalayim, and that's based on the parsha in Kisetze. And what happens if these chavile tilson get mixed up in other chavile tilson, which are heter and not kalayim, in that taroves, and acherim ba'acherim, and some from this first mixture get mixed up in a second mixture? Rabbi Meir says yidoleku, they all go up in smoke, and Rabbi Meir is not willing to recognize bittul in the case of chavile tilson. Chachom, on the other hand, say that we have a principle in Orla, that Orla is bottle echad mimasayim in a ratio 1 to 200, and the Mishnah in Orla explains why is it that Rabbi Meir rejects the possibility of bittul in chavile tilson. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, because it's called darko limonos, it's a davish of minyan, which is not batel. And Chachamim say that there are only six cases mentioned in the Mishnayos in the third parak of Orla, which are mufka from bittul. Rabbi Akiva jacks up the number to 7. And in the last year, we discussed that list. And now the Gemara quotes a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Es Shedarko Limonos Shaninu. So this is where we're starting our shiur for today. And if you count up from the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up, Rabbi Yochanan says Es Shedarko Limonos Shaninu. He understands in Rabbi Meir that, and this is a kula, that when do we say that a dovish of a minyan asses the entire tarovus and there's no din of bittul? That's only in something where everyone is makpid, everyone is careful to sell it the minyan. That gives it chashivus and it's not batel. Whereas Rav Shim ben Lakish Omer, he has a different shita. And he says, Kol Shedarko Limonos Shaninu, that Rabbi Meir defines a Dover Shebeminyan, which is not Batof, he'll be Elif, as something where there are people, a large percentage of the population will sell it Beminyan, even though there are other people who are not Makbid to sell it Beminyan. Nevertheless, the very fact that there are some people, some representation of the population of significance, that's enough to define it as a Dover Shebeminyan, and that's a Chumrah. because that's mafkia bittul. The Chachamim again disagree with Rabbi Meir, and they hold that Tolson is batul barov. And there are only six things that were mentioned that were enumerated in the Mishnah that are considered so chashuv that they're not batul. And now the Gemara is going to go back to the case of our Mishnah here in the eighth parak of Zvachim, regarding a mixture between behemos which are invalid, they are psulos mizvachim lehakrova, together with, mixed up with behemos that are kashal lehakrova, and to see why the Mishnah is mafkia bittul. Mishnah suspends the operation of bittul here, and all the animals in this mixture, the imasu, they have to die. None of them can be brought on the Mizbeach. And Hanichal Reish Lakish, that works out very well according to Reish Lakish, because even though these animals are generally sold b'minyan, that's enough according to Reish Lakish, who says that Shadar Kol Imanos to be Mafkiya Bittul, call it a Dover Shabminyan, El Rabbi Yochanan Ma'ikla Meimar. How does Rabbi Yochanan understand our Mishnah? He says that it's not enough that kol shedar kol limonos, but rather es shedar kol limonos, which means that it's got to be exclusively and unanimously counted b'minyan in order to make it into a dover shebiminyan, which is not batel. Now, before we get to Rav Papa's answer to try to defend our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yochanan, or defend Rabbi Yochanan with regard to our Mishnah, I do want to add something that we left out in the last shiur. We didn't get a chance to cover it in the last shiur. Gemara had said previously that there's a chiddush in our Mishnah that we would not have derived from the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah in the case of Yayin Nesach in Taroves, because in Yayin Nesach there's no hefseid l'gavoa, there's no hefseid for the Mizbeach, for the Karbonos. And therefore, if we only had the Mishnah Avodah Zarah, we would have had a Havamina that with regard to our Mishnah, perhaps the Chacham would allow Bittul in order to save something for the Mizbeach. Shalom nafsid l'kulu l'mizbeach l'gavoa. And it seems from the Shittim Gubetzes here in this sugya that the Havamina was that there would be Bittul in order that there shouldn't be a Hefse to Hegdesh. And the way that it would operate is that in the Reish of our Mishnah here at the beginning of our Perek, where we're talking about a Tarovus of Yisurei Anoah, like for example Shara Niskal, Chachom would allow Bittul to remove the Isur Anoah of Shara Niskal, which is relevant to Hejot. And that would allow Bittul Barov. Now, even though we have the issue of Kodshim, however, what we would be allowed to do is, we could solve the problem of Kodshim Legavo in the following way. We would allow the Isur Hanov Shor Niskal Lehejo to be Bittul Barov. Once that's Bittul, and now we address the problem of Hegdesh, we could wait until Adshi Yipol Mum B'chol HaBehemos. We'll wait until the Kodshim have a mum, and then we could sell them to Hejot. And once we sell them to Hejot, the kodshim are going l'chulin. The money that's received in place, in lieu of the kodshim, is going to be used to buy karbonis for the mizbeach. So there's no hefseid gavoa. The Hejot who bought them is allowed to be nene from them because the Isur HaNoah was bought them. We can't have pidgin and kodshim. The answer is, we'll wait till it becomes kodshim shenifslu b'mum, and that way we'll solve the problem of the hefseid l'gavoa. That was the havamina, and for that we needed our Mishnah here at the beginning of our perek to teach us that there's no bittul, even though by establishing the hafka of bittul, and therefore the din of misa, there's going to be a hefseid to Hegdesh. Omar of Papa, we're here on the bottom of Ayin Beis, Amid Beis.
Hai Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, Tana de Litra Ktsiosu. We're going to have to learn a brisa here called the brisa of Litra Ktsios. And again, the many different shitos, exactly what the volume, what the weight of a litra is, a certain volume. And the volume is somewhere probably like 350 gram. Whatever it is, we're talking about a litra of ktsios. And now we're talking about the issue of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshua. Let's turn to Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph and we'll clarify this. The brisa says the following. Kol davar sheyesh bo minyan, anything that's sold by number, each item is counted. That's the way Rov Bnei Adam do it. Afilu b'rabbanan, lo batel, there's no bitel, even if the Iser is only an Iser d'rabbanan. V'kolshken, how much more so if the Iser is an Iser d'oraisa. So we're talking about a tarovus of heter in Iser, Iser into heter, and it's not batel because there's a certain chashivus that people on occasion will sell it b'minyan. That's how Rashi interprets this sugya. As we'll see, litra ktsios, we're talking about a weight of figs, dried figs, of truma, that become mixed up in a suffek in a tarovis. So let's just summarize the following. There are three madregas over here. There's something which is not even, which everyone, shall we say, there's no split between the majority and minority. Everyone sells it b'minyan. That's clearly a davar she'b'minyan. Then we have one notch lower, which is something that's darko limonos, meaning many people sell it b'minyan. And then we have something that's a davar she'esh bo minyan only because a very few people will sell it b'minyan. They represent the silent minority, but they count it out one by one. And those are the three categories that we're going to address here in the brisa of Litra Ktsios. The Gemara now brings the Tana who holds that if there's even a minority of people, as we called it, the silent minority, who sell it b'minyan, that makes it into a davar she'b'minyan that gives a chashivus and it's not batel. Tesanya, let's read the brisa. This brisa also is brought down at the beginning of Masechta Beitzo with slight variations. Litra ktsios, as we said before, a certain weight, we'll call it 350 gram of dried figs that are truma. And keep in mind, we're going to explain in a minute that's truma d'rabbanon. It's not truma d'oraisa, it's not dagan tirosh v'yitzar, it's not one of the five species of grains, and it's not oil or wine. Shedrasa alpi ha'igul, alpi igul. So we have a round kli, which is used for pounding these figs in order to make them into what we call igule dvela, which means pounded figs into one hole. And the person who does the drisa, he did not mix this litra, which was truma, together with that which is inside this kli, inside this igul, but rather above, in the level above the chulin. So there are, in this kli now, this eagle, we have on the bottom, te'enim yevesho shel chulin, the dried figs that are chulin, they're not truma. And now he places te'enim on dried figs on top, which are truma, on top of this bottom layer of dried figs that are chulin. And at that point, when he pounds them, he separates them, the top layer from the second layer. And he has a number of these kalim, and eini yode be'eza igul drasa. He knows he singled out one of these kalim, and he did the drisa of trum, but he doesn't know which one it was. So now it's sort of lost in this tarovus of many, many igulim, of many, many different kelim. Now the Brisa gives another scenario, a slightly variant scenario, where he does the drisa of the truma al pi hachavis. It's on the outer lip of the barrel, so it's really separated from the chulin. V'eino yodea beiza chavis drasa. But again, he doesn't know which barrel he did this drisa to pound the truma on. Or a third scenario, al pi kaveres, which is a large kli that has different compartments in it, so like a beehive. V'eino yodea beiza kaveres drasa. He doesn't know which of the various kalim that are identical and have in them te'enim yubashs of chulin, he did this drisa of truma. And in all these three cases, we have machlokas now recorded in the brisa between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And we're going to have the shitos of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. So the original machlokas Tanoim is going to be that of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. On top of that, to boot, there's going to be a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, how to interpret the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. So let's start with the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the way he understood Rabbi Eliezer, is Roem esalyonos ki'iluhem prudos v'atachtonos malos esalyonos, which means the following, that since together with all these litros, this volume of te'enim yubashos that are in the same situation in each one of these kelim, whether it's the eagle, whether it's the chavis, whether it's the kaveres, in each one there's mea, there's 100 litros of chulin kineged the litra shel truma. So in other words, even though he knows that there was no taroves between the litra of truma and the litra, what we call the tachtonos, that are chulin, nevertheless, since there are these tachtonos, which are made of chulin, we could be mitzarif them to set up the bitul b'meah, which means roem esalyonos, we view the top part of each one of these igulim. Again, we don't know which eagle was the one that has the truma in it. Kilu hem prudos, as if they were part and parcel of the litros tachtonos of the chulin. Again, even though they are situated, they'll lay it down one layer on top of the other, but we view them as if it was one tarovus, one erbuvia. And that allows us to take the tachtonos, the litros tachtonos, in order to set up a ratio of mea chulin against one truma, and then umalos. What does malos mean? Bittel. You can apply bittel. This volume of tachtonos, of chulin, is mevatel esalyonos, the upper ones which are truma, and that's going to allow anyone, even a non-kohen, to eat the truma that's batel based on mea. So the pella here, the revolutionary, is that we're going to apply bittel by being mitzayif the tachtonos, which are really einom bechlal asafek. Bittel usually applies when you have isav het in the tarovus and the entire mixture is in the safek. We can't identify. Here we know that the tachtonos were not truma and weren't mixed with the truma, but we're talking about truma de rabbanon, as we mentioned earlier. And then you might ask the question, okay, even if it's truma de rabbanon, but we have a principle of dover shebiminyan, afilu b'derabbanon, dover sheyesh bo minyan, is eino batel. It apparently, Rabbi Meir, in presenting the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, is saying that although te'enim, meaning these figs, are counted and sold by item, but not everybody does so. So if we go with the definition that we mentioned earlier of kol shedarko limonos, which means that we need that everybody counted the minyan, then according to Rabbi Meir, the way he understands Rabbi Eliezer, here we have a situation which is not shedar kolimonos. It's not everybody. It's called shedar kolimonos, and that's not called a davar shebiminyan, and therefore it is batel. So that's going to be one mahalach here in this brisa of litrik tzios. That's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Meir in interpreting the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, and that's going to allow for bittel in a case of something that's called shedar kolimonos, but it's not es shedar kolimonos. Then we have in the Brisa Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Im Yesh Mea Pumim Ya'alu, if in the mixture of the various Igulim, there are 100 of those rims, you know, the pios of the Igulim, on the top of the Igul, and there are Ktzio Shel Heter in the pios, in other words, there was a drisa in the pios, in the, around the lip, or the upper rounding part of these kelim, yizbatlu. Then you could apply the principle of bittel, since there are ktzios shelchulin, which are in the pi ha'igulim, in all the different igulim. In other words, he's not going to accept the shita of Rabbi Eliezer that we could be mitzarif the tachtonos. We're going to isolate the part of the kli where the drisa of the truma was done, and we're going to see if there are chulin in that part of the kli, or in all the kelim together, then we can apply the principle of bitumim, lav. If not, if you don't have, let's say, mea igulim, you know, each one where there's a pounding of these figs on the top rim, then asurim. Hapumim asur. We're going to have to asur everything. So we need that ratio of 100 within the pios, within the pumim themselves. Why? Because the pia eagle is bechlal the safek. In each keli, we could say maybe that's where the drisa of truma was done. But the litros tachtonos cannot be integrated into the calculation of bittel, of mea here in this case, of truma, because there ain't a bechlal a safek. The shulayim of all the igulim are mutarim, because there was definitely no tarovus of a litra shel truma. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not the machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be machmir, but rather, Ella, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of this machlok, is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, im yesham mea pumim. This is identical with Rabbi Meir's version or presentation of Rabbi Yeshua. Now it becomes the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Im yesha mea pumim ya'alu, fiim lav, kol etros befumin asurin, meaning that we're not going to be mitzarif the tachtonos. Rabbi Yeshua omer afil yesham shlosh meos pumin, then even if we focus just on the pumim, which are bechlala suffik, and now we have a ratio of 300 to 1, lo ya'alu, there's no possibility of being mavata the ktzios of truma. And the reason is because some people, again, it might be a minority of the people, but there are some people out there who will sell these te'enim b'minyan, meaning one at a time. So as it comes out now, we have in Rabbi Yehuda, the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, that was the most extreme lechumra, broad scope definition of Dorash HaBinyan, even if there is a representation of the people who would count it b'minyan. Drasa b'igul. What happens if he did the dris on the shulei ha'igul, and there were many, many litros of chulin that were organized in the width of this shulei ha'igul, v'eni yodeh beza makum b'igul drasa, o b'tzvona, o b'droma, is diriyah kol yalu. So if we can set up a situation where all the litros of these ktzios, b'shulei ha'igul, are b'chlal ha'safek, they're all included in the safek, then everybody agrees that we can set up bittel. So let's just summarize what we get from this brisa. According to Rabbi Yehuda, which is the last shita, Rabbi Yeshua would say, Dover sheyesh lo, yesh mochrim osavim, there's some people out there, a very silent minority, is eino bittel. Rav Pop understands that Tana is the Tana of our Mishnah, why is it that in our Mishnah Chatos HaMeso, so Ashar Niskal is not Batel? Is the answer is just like we're going to be Machmir in Litra Ktzios, and we're going to define them as a Dovr Sheva Minyan, even though most people would sell them in weight or as a unit, as an entity, without counting individuals. But since there are some who would count out each individual Te'ena, and therefore it's a Dovr Sheva Minyan, it's not Batel. So too in the case of Chatos HaMesos and Shar Niskal, Rav Papa says, we're going to consider them, according to Rav Yehuda Shita in Rav Yeshua, as a Dovr Sheva Minyan, even though most people would sell it without counting it. And now the Gemara presents another possibility to explain our Mishnah, which would work out our Mishnah according to everyone. So you don't have to go into this dochak and say it's reflecting the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, dafka the way Rabbi Yehuda understood Rabbi Yeshua. Rav Ashi Omer, afilu tamer rabbanan, even the chacham who disagree with Rabbi Yeshua, and they hold that only something where everybody sells it b'minyan, then it's called the davar shebinyan, it's not batel. We can still explain our Mishnah based on the principle of Bali Chaim Chashivi v'lo Betile, that the reason why there's no bitul in the case of the mixture of the animals, some of which are psulos mizbeach and some which are ksheros, is not based on Dovr Sheva Minyan, but based on a different principle, that a Bal Chai, a live being, is not bitul. There's a chashivas to a live being. So up until this point, we're explaining why the psulos, like the Chatos HaMesos or the Shor Niskal in this mixture, are not Betels Berov Haksheros. Now the Gemara wants to know, why not be Matir all the Behemos through what we call Prisha? As long as they're in Tarovas, I understand that there's no Bittel. Call it a Dovr Sheva Minyan, call it a Bali Chaim Lo Batel. But what happens when you separate one animal from the bunch? That's called Prisha. The animal was Poreshes Min HaTarovas. Now we should apply the principle of Rov, forget about the principle of Bittel, and the Gemara is going to ask the following question: why does the Mishnah say that all the animals have to be put to death, or in some cases you can allow them to become Bali Mumin, and then you pod it, you know, with the Damim, and you buy all the Karbonis? Why not just be Matir the Behemoths themselves, La Hakrova, V'Nimshoch Unikarev chad minayhu, let's schlep out one of the animals from this mixture and be makriven on the mizbeach. The Nema will apply the principle of kol deparish miruba parish. So as long as there's a mixture and everything is kavua bimkomo, there's no one single parish, then we have to apply the principle of bittel. And if we suspend bittel and undermine it because of Dovr Sheva Minyan, for example, then we understand that the whole Taruvus is Osir. But when I pull out one of them, then I can apply the principle called the Parish Meruba Parish. Like, for example, we have the Gemara at the beginning of Pesachim, that there are piles. And let's say, let's say 9 out of the piles, out of the 10 piles are chametz and one is matzah. So right now, if you go into one of the piles, you know, you have a problem. But let's say one of the pieces is porish, then you apply the principle called the porish meruba porish. You have the case of chanuyos. You have 9 chanuyos that sell trefa meat, and one sells, let's say 9 chanuyos sell kosher meat, and one sells trefa meat, non-kosher meat. And now you find a piece of meat in the street, it's called the parish meruba parish. So the Gemara doesn't understand this kasha of nimshoch unikarev chad minayhu. Says the Gemara, nimshoch, you think you're going to solve the problem by pulling out one of them? And then you're going to be matir based on prisham and arov and called the parish meruba parish. You have this mixture, this eider, we'll call it, this flock of animals, and inside the flock there is chatos hamesis ishar niskal. Is at this point havile kavua? We can apply the principle of kol kavua kemechzal mechzedomi. Now we're turning to dafayin gimel amid beis, and this is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which tells us that as long as you're in a makom kvius and you have a mixture, then it's as if it's half and half. It doesn't matter what the actual ratio is. And this is derived from the parasha in what we call Ritzicha B'Shogeg in Dvarim Perek Yutes, it says V'chiya Ish Sone L'Reyeu V'Arev L'Vakom Olav V'Iko Nefesh HaMes, and he had a kavana to kill a Jew, and he's chayav Misa for that. But this comes to exclude the case of Zorek Evan Lego. He throws an Evan into a mixture of people. There are 9 Jews and 1 Nachri. And even though he killed the Jew, he's potem in a Misa, because this Taruvas is what's called Kvua. It's set up in its place. So he's throwing the stone towards a Makom Kvius, and then we consider as if there was 50 and 50, and we completely ignore the preponderant majority number here of the Rov, which in this case is Rov Yisrael. So it's as if there are 5 Jews and 5 non-Jews. And that's called a Safek Shakel, and then we apply the principle of Safek Nefashis Lahakel. So here also, in our Tarovas of Behemos, since it's a Makom Kvius, and the animals are in the aid there, and therefore we've already paskined the halacha of Kol Kavua Kemechtzal Mechzadami. Now, if you porish one of them, you're not going to be matrid based on Prishim and Arov, because there is no Rov. The Torah has completely undermined this Rov, and has replaced it with Kemechtzal Mechzadami through the halacha of Kol Kavua. So the Gemara now repeats or reformulates the question in a slightly different way. Ella, this was the Gemakshin's intention. Nichbeshinu denaydi. Let's sort of push them in such a way, these animals, that they're going to start jumping around and moving out of their place. And it's no longer an Iser Kavua. And then Venema, then we can apply the principle of Kol Deparish Meruva Parish. Now this is interesting because the Gemara now is willing to say that if the animals are poresh, in other words, if I pull one out, then my suffix was nolad at the time that I pulled it out. And I'm already asking what this particular animal is, and then I have to say kol kavua kemetzal mechzitz kvius. But if I can set it up such that the animals will jump around on their own, now I'm not taking from the makom kvius. My suffix is nolad when I encounter one particular animal that's outside of the makom kvius. And that's like the case where one particular meat was poresh. I find it in the street in front of all these butcher shops, and I can say kol deparish meruba parish and apply the principle of rov. And the basic difference between the first way the Gemara asked the question of Meshicha, of pulling out a behemoth, and the second way where he's dochek, he pushes them in order to move them from one place to the other, is that in the first case, when the animals were purished from the Taruves, when he pulls them out, since he himself takes them from a Mokum Kvius, the Sofik is Nolad, the Mokum Kvius. And then we have to deal with this Tarovas as Kemechtzal Mechzimidin Kvius. So therefore, the Meshicha is not going to remove your Sofik. The Sofik is Nolad B'Mokum Kvius. And that's like the case of the nine butcher shops. And he goes into one of the butcher shops. And now he has a Sofik, which butcher shop he went into. Did he go into the kosher one or the non-kosher one? And we apply the principle of Kol Kavu Kemechtzal Mechzim. But in the second case, where they would dochek the animals in such a way that the animals started moving from that place, the animals on their own jump out of the Mokum Kvius, and now you have an animal that's out there separated from the Kvius, he's on the move. Now when he pulls one animal, he's pulling it out of a Mokum Precious. It's no longer Mokum Kvius. And the Suffolk is on each animal as it pulls out of the kvius. Where did it come from? Did it come from the rove, or did it come from the mute? And now we can apply the principle of kol kavua kemechtzal mechzedam. Now there's a Tosus Divra Maschil v'nechbeshinu here, and he claims that even in that situation where we cause the animals to move, that's also considered kol kavua kemechtzal mechzedam. V'lo yutru abehemos. Ella, but rather, Hamis Pazru Minataruva Shalo Bifanenu. We have to make sure that we set up this chain reaction, this cause, that the animals move out, Shalo Bifanenu, and we're not aware of it. Because what we see, that already is the latest suffix. If we see the Prisha itself is Mimokom Kvius. And this is like the case of the person who watches the mouse who goes into one of these various piles, and he sees he takes out a piece, he doesn't know if it's chametz or matzah, and that's going to be considered kol kavua kemechtzal mechzedami. So when the Gemara says Nechbashinu Venaidinu, according to Dinaidi, according to Tosfos, the meaning of this Gemara is Na'alim Osamei Neinu. Somehow we have to, you know, set up this situation of Nachbashinu Venaidi without our seeing it, and then we can take each individual behema unto itself and apply the principle of Kol Deparish Meruba Parish. So first, Rava offers an answer to this question. And he says this is not going to be a solution to the problem of Dovrish and Beminyan, and of course HaBittel, but rather we're still left with the problem of Tarovis. Why? Amar Rava, you know, on a Doraisa level, I agree with you. You could be matir each behemoth individually if it's Porish from the Tarovas and apply the Prince of Azlina Basaruba called the Porish. But the Chachamim made a Gzera here. And they asked it. Why? Shema, what we're afraid is that after he pulls out the animal from the Taroves, and he's ready to shech this animal, Yavo Asora Kohanim Bevas Achas, 10 Kohanim are going to come simultaneously, and they're going to take simultaneously these animals for Hakrova. And then what happens is, let's say after the Shechita, Kabbal Sadam, etc., the Dam, or the Emurim, of these 10 animals, which represent, again, the number 10 here is a symbolic number, it represents Rov HaTarovas, most of the animals in this mixture, V'akrivu, and then they bring all these karbonos simultaneously on the Mizbeach. And now, since these 10 represent the Rov, we're not going to assume that the Behema Psula, the Mizbeach, was left in the Taroves, together with the minority. But we have to worry about the fact that amongst these 10 animals, that he's coming to be Makriv now, there's the animal that's Psula, Behema Psula, and now he's taking Kodshim Psulim, and he's being Makriv them on the Mizbeach. So Amaleahu Mirabona, one of the Zkenim said, one of the Chachamim said to Rava, I don't like your answer. Why? El Me'ata, if you're interpreting this Gzera that the Chachamim were afraid that there'll be a Zrik of Rov Domim Bevasachas, is then, according to your logic, Migisa Asira. Meaning, logic of the Gemara's Kashi of this Zokei Mitalmidei Chachamim is that once each animal comes out of this Taroves, again, it's true later on, the Hakrova might be done by Vasachas, but as the animal comes out of the Taroves, you pull one out each time, or one of them jumps out each time, then we apply the principle called the Parish Meruba Parish. And therefore, when there's a Kabbalah Saddam in a Kli, and then they do the Hagasa, meaning they mix up the Dam, it's already Becheskas Kosher. So let them integrate all the dam, mix all the dam together of all the animal shchutos. But and even if it would represent rover the animals, it doesn't matter anymore, right? Because you've already established the Cheskas Heter. Gemara doesn't accept the logic of Rava here, that after you amata the behemos midin called the parash meruba parash, you're going to be yachzor v'izbatlo heteron, you're going to be bevato the heter. So we were matter the tarovas by doing this mashicha of one behema after the other, assuming and we were told that each one came from the rov. Now we can go ahead and mix the tarovas already, after this was all done. And this really reflects a whole issue in Bittel and how Bittel operates, and whether or not something is Bittel, can it become Chos Venir, can become Osir again. Perhaps we'll get a chance to discuss this in more great detail. But be that as it may, as long as we're operating with Kol Deparish Meruba Parish, that's not a Din Bittel, that's only a Din of Tliya, that's only a Din of Hachros Asfekas, but the Suffolk is still there. And now when you combine the Dam together, is it really a case where we're being mavato the original heter or not? That depends on how you learn Kavua and how you learn Rov. But at least at this point, the Gemara understands that this din of called the Parsh Meruva Parsh is not going to change the nature of the Iser and convert it into Heter, and therefore the Gemara thinks, at least according to Rava's explanation, that we have a problem mixing them all together. Once we become we get that Rov that includes the dam of the carbon puzzle in it. But on the other hand, the Makshin here is of the opinion, and the Gemara seems to accept his position, that once we apply the din of Kol Deparish, then we assume each animal has a Cheskes Heter. You can mix the Domim later on in a Kli. So the Gemara answers that let's reformulate slightly different version, the Iser Chachamim, that we're not allowed to be Mafrish 1-1, each animal to be Makavit, Mishum, what was the Cheshash? Shema Yavo Asura Kohanim Bevas Achas V'yikhu. Let's say 10 Kohanim will come, and simultaneously they'll take from this mixture 10 animals, which represent the Rov of the Tarovas Bevas Achas, and then they'll be Makavit. Now, since there was never, at this point in time, this is before there was a Chalos Heter on any single animal, because at the time they took all these 10 animals, it was still B'mokom Kvius, and as we said before, there was no Bittel. Therefore, we're going to assume that when they took these 10 animals in one fell swoop from the Taroves, included in that animal is a Behema Psul Mizbeach, because this 10 represents the Rov, and included in the Rov is the animal that's Psula. So the Gemara asks, Basara Kohanim Vasachas Miefsha, is it really feasible that ten Kohanim will simultaneously take 10 animals out of this Taroves? After all, we're talking about a case where you got together the animals and then you caused them to start moving out, and they were mispazer, they were spread out from their original place, and now we have to grab them. Is it possible that we're going to be mitzamtzeim, we're going to grab them all, 10 animals at the same time, exactly simultaneously? Elam Rava Mishum Kavua. That really what the Gzeres Chachamim in Rava's reformulation is, they didn't want to be mater based on Prishim and Arov, because tomorrow, in another situation down the line, they're going to come to take from the Kvius itself. They're not going to go through this process of Yenadne Mimkomam to make them move out. And if they take it from the Mokom Kvius, then all the Behemoth are Asuris Midin, Kol Kavua, Kemechzal Mechzadami. The Gemara now goes into a whole new discussion. Again, it's an extension of the previous sugya. What happens if he went ahead and he was mafrish one by one, and he went ahead and he was makriv the karbon? He shouldn't have done so, but he went ahead and he did it. Is the karbon maratzah? Does it have to be replaced by another karbon? Omer Rava, hashtad the amri rabban alo nakriv. Now that the rabban have established, because of their fear that he might take bin a kavua, that once there was a tarovus of chatos behemos asher niskal, and these behemos that are kosher, they're ruyos lakrova, and the chacham established lo nakriv. He's not allowed to be makriv, not even one single animal from this tarovus. And he's not allowed to even be mafrish them one, take them out of the tarovus, even when they're moving, when the animal's on the move. I'll add the word avar. If he went ahead and he violated the chachamim and makriv, and he brought all the karbonis on the mizbeach from this mixture, lo maratze, there's no ritzui karbon. You know, this Rav is coming to be mechadish that even if he takes mina kavua and he was makriv all the behemoths in this taroves, and we know that amongst those that he was makriv were ksherim, nevertheless there's no ritzui. Eisvei Rav Huna bar Yehuda l'Rava. So Gemara now raise an objection against Rava. We have a Mishnah Masech Tekinim in the first perek, and we're talking about a Zav, a Zava, or Yoledis that have to bring a Kan, which means two Torim or two Bnei Yona for their Tara. One is an Ola and one is a Chatos. And there's a fundamental difference between the avoda, the zrika sadam, between one bird and another. One bird, which is a chatos, is the zrika's lamal on top of the chutas sikra. That's the din of dam chatos. The other bird is an ola, and the dama ola is nizrak. So again, in the case of chatos, the zrika is on the bottom half of the mizbeach, below the chut hasikra. In the case of dama ola, the zrika is on the top half, above the chut hasikra. And he was meshana the seder and the carbon is posel. So once there's a fundamental difference in the zrika sadam, the Mishnah says there, Masech Tekinim is chatos and is arva ba'ola. We now have a mixture between the chatos of and the ola of. And here's another scenario. Ola, meaning an ola sof, shenis arva b'chatasov, is afilu, even if the tarovas of the chatas of the ola was achas beribo, even if it was one in 10,000 kinim, yomusu kulam. Very similar to what we saw in our sugya, that bali chayim are chashuvim and they're not subject to bittul. So since this chatas or this ola is not bot of a rov, it's not possible to zorik the dam of any of these ofos, because in each case we have a suffix. Maybe it's the ola and the zrika requires lamala, or it's the chatas and zrika requires lamata. Then the Mishnah clarifies, b'medvar mamurim, when do we say all the ofos in this mixture will die? That's b'kohen nimlach. If the kohen comes to ask us the question what to do with this tarovas, we'll tell him that he should put them all to death. Avol b'kohen sheinu nimlach, if the kohen doesn't come to ask us the question of what the din should be, but he went ahead on his own initiative and he was zorik the dam, then the dinim depend upon the following. If he took all the kinim and he took all these birds vason lemala and he was zorik them on top of the chut hasikra, is then mechza kosher, mechza posel, that half of these birds are kosher and half are posel, because as far as the ola is concerned, he did the right thing, he was zorik the dam lemala, and therefore the olos are ksheros and they were mechaper. But as far as the chatos are concerned, where the din of the zrika is lamata, then the carbon is posel and there's no kapara. Therefore, in these cases, let's say, for example, the case of Yoledes, the woman is going to have to bring another chatos for a kapara. She doesn't have to replace the ola because the dam was done lamala. Or in the flip side, let's say lamata, they did all the zrikos below the chut hasikra, is mechza kosher, mechza posel, means that now all the chatos are ksheros, because the kohen did the zrika lamata, and that achieves kapara, and the other half, meaning the olos, they have to be replaced. She'll have to bring olos acheros for kapara. Now what if the zrika was done achas lamata, achas lamala, but we don't know again whether he did the lamala on the ola and the lamata on the chatos, or the reverse, ishneim psulos, we have a suffix. Why? Shani omer, perhaps, lest achatos krevel lamala, maybe it was the oaf that was designated as a chatos that was brought on top of the chut hasikra, and that's psula, that's shalokedina, and the ola krevel lamata, perhaps the ola was brought lamata shalokedina. In any event, it's clear from this Mishnah that even though, according to Ikar HaDin, if the Kohen would have come and asked us the question, what should he do? We wouldn't have told him to be Zorek the Dam of all these birds, either Lamala or Lamata, in order to save and do damage control so at least half of them would be Ksheros. But we would have told him that all the Ophas in this mixture are Bemisa, that's the Din. Nevertheless, the Kohen went ahead without asking us, and he was Makrivas, he achieves Kapar and Ritzui. So this is a contradiction to Rava, who said that in our mission, if the Kohen would be makir of all the behemos that were mixed up in this tarovas, there's no ritzui and there's no kapara. So Gemara answers, Amar Le, Rava says back to Rav Huna bar Yehuda, don't ask me a kasha from our Mishnah. We already found the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rabbanon in Masech Yuma about dichui, whether dichui, the concept of dichui applies to Balei Chaim, to live creatures. Do we say Nidchu Li'olam, and even if you rectify the Sivas HaPsul, it remains Posul? And no, there's no Dichui in the case of Balei Chaim. And therefore we can say the following, Ha, our Mishnah Kiman D'Yom reflects the Sheet that Balei Chaim Nidachim. So since at that moment in time, after the Tarovas was created, there would be no possibility of being makriv the korban. We would have told the Kohen, instructed him not to be makriv the korbanos. Therefore, the animal gets the status of dichli, despite the fact that it's a bal chayim, because we're holding now that bal chayim nidochim. That's our Mishnah. V'ho but the Mishnah in Kinim reflects the Shita command the Yom Bal Chaim Enom Nidochim, and therefore as long as the animal is alive, there's no din of Dichui. The Kohen went ahead and he was makriv them without asking us. Then there's Ritzui for those Ofos in this case that we know for sure there was a Hatzas Domim Hazot Kedina. So the Gemara is not happy. Hare Shchutim Dekuli Alma Nidochim. If the animal was shechted, and it's no longer alive, if it became possible from Akrov after the Shechita, everybody agrees that we apply the principle of Dichui. And here we're going to turn to Daf Ayin Dalid Omer Aleph, Utnan, and nevertheless we have a Mishnah later on. This is on Daf Ayin Zayin of Beis with regard to a mixture of a varim of an animal that was a balas mum with a varim of what we call olos tmimos, many different olos that were tmimos that weren't a bal mum. So as a result of this taroves, all the avarim of the olos tmimos are asuras bakrova because of this taroves. Rabbi Elezer Omer, if before the Kohen went to ask Bezdin what to do in this case with this mixture, Karev, he was Makriv, Rosh Shal Echad Mihem, then we can assume that he went ahead and he was Makriv, the Rosh, meaning the Evorim, of the Balas Mum, that which is Osir, that he shouldn't have been Makriv. And therefore, with regard to the balance of the Evorim, Yikruvu Kol HaRoshim, he could be Makriv the rest. So we see here that even in the case of Bali Chaim Shchutim, even after Shchita, because we're talking about Evarim, and they were Nidchu, because again, had the Kohen asked us, L'chatchilu, we tell them they're not Royal Akrova. Nevertheless, if he didn't ask us, and he went ahead on his own initiative, as Makrov, then there's Ritzui. So therefore, at the Tana of the Mishnah in Kinim might hold an Enochinami Bali Chaim Nidochim. But nevertheless, if he doesn't ask any questions, he was Zorik the Dam of these Kinim, there's Ritzui. So why does Rava say that if he was Makriv of all these behemoths of the Tarovas, there's no Ritzui? You're going to tell me because our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Bali Chaim Nidochim. But yet, even if the Mishnah holds Bali Chaim Nidochim, let's go over to the Mishnah in Kinim. And the Mishnah says that im lo nimlach hakohen and there was zrikas adam this ritzui. So therefore, in our case, in our Mishnah, where he was makir the behemos, and we're going to say that there's ritzui. So again, let's just go over one more time the Gemara's kasha. Gemara is proving from this Mishnah of Rabbi Eliezer that Bali Chaim Shchutim Nidochim, even after Shchita, because he's talking about a mixture of Evarim, so it's obviously after Shchita, and we're talking about a situation in which the animal is no longer Bal Chai, it's not alive. So we see clearly that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no din of Dichui if the Kohen went ahead and instead of asking us, he was Makir the Korban. So here too, in the case of our Mishnah, why is there no Ritzui? Why does Rava says that if the Kohen went ahead and he did the Hakrava, there's no Ritzui? Again, you might ask, why does Gemara base its kash on Rabbi Eliezer? The Chachomim never accepted Rabbi Eliezer. And that's going to be the kashi of Tosus and the Shittim Gubetzes. In any event, the Gemara gives the following answer. There's no proof from the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Zayin of Evarim that even Bali Chaim Shchutim that was subject to Dichui, if he went ahead and he was Avar Vikrivim Hurtzalo, because although most of the Tanoim are of the opinion that Bali Chaim Shchutim Nidochim, is that's called a Dichui Liolam, But it's possible to say, Hu diomar ki Chanana Mitzri, Rabbi Eliezer, and that Mishnah reflects the sheet of Chanana Mitzri, who holds that even in the case of Shkutin that became Psulim from Akrova, if they became Royal Ruyim Lakrova afterwards, they are Ksherim, and we can makriv them on the Mizbeach, meaning that Chanana Mitzri rejects the halacha of Dichui. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Chanana Mitzri Omer. We're talking about the case of Shnei Seirim on Yom HaKippurim. One is the Sar HaPnimi, and one is the Sar HaMishtalech LaZazel. And each Sar depends upon the other one. It's a package deal. He went and he shechted the Sar LaShem. And then subsequently, after the Shechita, the Sar HaMishtalech died. And Chanana Mitzri claims that Afilu Dam Bakos, even though the Sar HaPnimi is after Shechita, the dam has already been received in the Kli Shoreis. We don't say that since the Ben Zug, its pair, died, meaning the Sar HaMishtalech died, that he can't be makrivit, although again, he can't be makriv on its own, the Sar Pnimi, but nevertheless, Mevi Chavero Mizaviglo. He can designate another Sar, a second Sar, to replace the Sar HaMishtalech that died, and he can go ahead and do the Zrikas Adam of the Sar HaPnimi. And we see clearly that Chanana Mitzri holds that even after Shechita, because again, we're talking about Dam Bekos, clearly after Shechita, there's no Dichui Li'olam. So Rabbi Eliezer holds like Chanana Mitzri that even Shechutim Einam Nidachim, and therefore, it's understood why he holds that if the Kohen, had he come to ask us, we would have told that everything is to be left out of his back. He didn't ask us. He went and he was Makriv. So he's Makriv, one of the Roshim, of the Evarim HaShenis Aruz Ebezeh, he now keep makriv the rest of them. But for those who reject that sheet of Chanana Mitzri and therefore Rabbi Eliezer, they hold that Shchutim Nidochim Li'olam, is therefore, even if he was makriv Rosh Echad, he can't be makriv the rest of the Roshim. And if he went and he did so, there's no Ritzui. If therefore there's no question on Rava, who holds that the Tan of Am Mishnah holds that in Bali Chaim Nidochim Lifnei Shechita is Nidochim Li'olam, and therefore even if he went and he was Makir the Behemoth in the Taroves, there's no Rit. So we're going to stop here on the top of Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. We're up to Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabbah, which is line 4 down from the top of Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph. Nemir Tz Hashem, in the next Shia we'll pick up Daf Ayin Dalet.